Dateline Washington, Wednesday, April 1st, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the congressional budget battle. We'll speak with Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper, a member of the House Budget Committee, about the details of the Republican budget alternative finally introduced with specifics on Wednesday. How would Republicans change the tax code? What's their approach to the ever-growing amount of federal spending? And how would they address our energy problems? We'll also find out what concerns the congressman most about the Democratic version that is promised to pass on Thursday. Also in this edition, the Democratic view. Larry Haas served as spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office. We'll get his reaction to the GOP budget alternative and find out what he thinks of the plan that's about to be approved by lawmakers on Thursday. Plus, fighting terrorism. We'll talk with Clifford May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, about the vow of the Taliban chief in Pakistan for a major terrorist strike aimed right here at Washington, D.C. We'll also get his thoughts on new Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promising to deal with Iran and its nuclear program if the U.S. doesn't show some results soon. And Obama across the pond. We'll talk about his effort along with British Prime Minister Gordon Brown to convince other nations to spend their way out of this economic crisis. We'll be joined by longtime British diplomat Jonathan Clark. All that plus our top news is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Congressman Greg Harper, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper, a Republican representing the Magnolia State's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee. We want to get his thoughts today as the Republicans introduce more details of their alternative budget proposal and, of course, get his reaction to the Democratic version, which is what will be voted on this week in the House. And, Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, last week, the Republican leadership unveiled kind of the general outline for this budget alternative, and they talked about some of the principles of the party. Others kind of dismissed it because there weren't a lot of specifics. What do you see as the thrust of the Republican alternative? How is it most different from what the Democrats have put forward?
Well, obviously, it spends at a much more in line rate than the president's budget, and it provides incentives and cuts, I think, for those that are the job creators in our country, and that's our small businesses. So I certainly see that as being a great place to look at to improve on the budget ideas. Also, I think one of the worst things contained within the president's budget is the system of cap and trade. I think that is an area that's going to wind up with an incredible amount of costs on every citizen in this country, and one that doesn't really help make us energy independent in any shape, form, or fashion. So I think that we'll be looking at expanding all of our energy areas to truly make us energy independent, and that includes getting your domestic supply of oil in its fullest possibility. And the president didn't mention anything in his first address to the joint session of Congress about nuclear energy, and there was nothing in his budget other than not funding a nuclear waste repository. So those are areas that we've got to look at as far as nuclear energy, expanding that, and also clean coal technology and other things that we can do. And I'm fine. Look, if you can convince me that wind and solar will help in some form, we'll consider all of those things.
Congressman, let's talk about some of the principles you mentioned now. In this new Republican alternative, there is a freeze on additional spending with the exception of defense spending and veteran spending. All told, what is your price tag for this budget and how feasible do you think that would be if enacted?
Well, I don't have the figures in front of me on the price tag on those things, but clearly the omnibus bill that we just passed increased the spending at 8 or 9% over it was the previous year. So to freeze those areas where we can, we're asking businesses and families, individuals to do things that the government's not doing. And if we're expecting them to make ends meet, then we've got that responsibility. So defense spending certainly is a great, when you look at the president's budget, that's my concern, is we're going to wind up having to cut something somewhere, and I'm afraid it's going to be in the areas of defense spending. So that issue is going to be a problem. The president's already said it's going to delay airborne tankers, refueling tankers, and also cancel, it looks like, a long-range bombing weapon deal. And, you know, missile defense is something that certainly I support, but the president's budget apparently is not going to do that.
Congressman, another area that this budget alternative addresses, which is quite different not only from the Democratic alternative, but quite different from the current tax code, and that's the amount that folks will make that either will eliminate federal income taxes for them altogether, or if they make enough, they'll be paying much less than they do now. Explain that a little bit.
Well, obviously, we have a history of when times are tough or a period of recession, tax cuts always stimulate the economy. And so this is a form in which to do it. You know, I've never got hired by anybody in high school or college that didn't have a, they were all small business owners. And what we propose is our incentives and things that will help those that have small businesses, who create and offer those jobs to folks across the country. And, you know, when you say we're going to tax, put the burden of the president's budget on the backs of those that make $250,000 a year or more, 64% of those are small business owners. We shouldn't expect them to bear the brunt of the president's plan that, you know, doubles the deficit in 5 years and triples it in 10.
Well, let's talk about the Democratic version now, which, of course, is what passed out of the House Budget Committee. What is the status of the bill? When will we get a final vote?
Well, I really believe we could have a vote as early as tomorrow on it. I can't imagine us leaving without that tomorrow, but we haven't gotten a notice from the whip yet as to when that might take place. But with the recess coming up, I've got to anticipate that that'll take place tomorrow.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your home district, Congressman. How are folks reacting to what they've seen out of Washington so far in this Congress, with obviously a great deal of spending? You mentioned the omnibus bill, obviously nearly $800 billion in a stimulus plan, and of course now we're looking at a $3.6 trillion budget. What are they telling you?
Well, they have thanked me for voting no on those proposals, and they are actually not just typically, you know, our folks back home are pretty informed, and they will monitor what's going on. But they are just mad. They are angry at what the White House is trying to push through, what the Democratic House leadership is trying to do, and so that is an ongoing deal. And, you know, the stimulus bill, for instance, we didn't have $800 billion sitting around in a savings account. So, you know, CBO at least tells you it's going to cost money to do that. So they estimate another $350 million that it will take to fund that debt, to service that debt. So it's really, you know, $1.1 or more trillion dollars to do that. So the folks back home are very supportive of what I'm doing, but they expect us to put up a good fight, and they know that, you know, this is bad for the country, what Congress is trying to do.
Congressman, the president has made no secret that this budget plan greatly addresses changes to health care, energy, which you mentioned, as well as education. A lot of additional spending and a lot of changes coming to those systems if the president gets his way. We haven't seen that many hearings on Capitol Hill about changes to those sectors of our economy, and we're also hearing that the Senate might debate this in a way so that a filibuster won't even be possible. What do you make of the tactics here?
Well, I think that it's certainly nothing very transparent about that, and it's been very consistent with what the House Democratic leadership has done and the president has done. We've not had the typical committee hearings where things have been vetted, you know, with the stimulus bill, we got that 1,073-page bill available to us on midnight the night before we voted. So, you know, how can we have something that is that large and creates that much debt, and not a single member of the House or the Senate has a chance to read it? So, not having the hearing process, not going through the normal time to have a chance to talk about these things or even read many of the bills, it's not the way to run the government.
We're talking with Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper, represents his state's 3rd congressional district. And Congressman, take us back into your district and back to the issue of cap and trade and the higher energy costs we're going to be seeing as energy companies and industry end up having to pay a whole lot more, and then obviously those costs get passed along to the consumers. Inside your district, how much will folks' bottom line be affected by this cap-and-trade system?
Well, the unfortunate thing is nobody really understands how cap-and-trade is ultimately, what the true cost will be. The CBO numbers show about $1,600 per person. The president says there's going to be a credit that everybody will get, but even that is projected at about $800 per person. So even a very modest estimate, you're talking probably $1,000 a person per year in increased energy costs. And, you know, we have a lot of people on fixed incomes, students, seniors. This is something that will hurt us, and this is nothing but an attempt by the government to control our behavior. And we're going to pay for a lot of this scheme is going to cost us a lot of money. Cap and tax, I guess we should call it, is going to be a really bad idea for the folks in America.
Last 60 seconds here, Congressman. What's the party strategy moving forward? You've released a budget alternative today. I would imagine it's not going to get a vote on the House floor, or certainly not much debate if it does. Where do you go from here, assuming you don't get the votes to stop the Democratic version?
Well, obviously, they've got the votes. I mean, I wish I could say that they didn't, but we have to continue to do the blocking and tackling and put forth the issues. And I believe that our ideas are better for the country. They make a better business sense, and there's nothing but a lot of piling on that's going right now with some of the money and budget proposals that they have. And we'll just continue with the fight, try to keep going with the message, because you can tell across the country, I believe, that folks know this is not good for our country.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up, but it's great to have you with us, sir. Thanks for your time.
Hey, pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Mississippi Congressman Greg Harper represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. This is Dateline Washington.